This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Holy God, powerful God, mighty God, loving God, we bow before you this day, celebrating you, honoring you, glorifying you as the great I am. You are God and God alone. You are worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. You are worthy to be praised even when the sun rises earlier than we expect. Oh God, we honor you on this beautiful day marking truly the beginning of spring, helping us to just honor the light of the world that you are. God, so bless us to worship you. Bless us to worship you in spirit and in truth on this beautiful day that you have blessed us to see. God, we pray for those who stand in need in any way. We pray for those in war-torn lands, God, who need your peace, who need your protection. We pray for families, especially in those places. We pray for families all over the world that need your presence, God, in their lives and in their homes. God, we pray that you bless this community in which we live. Help it to prosper. Because as your word says, if we pray for the welfare of the city, if we pray that the city might prosper, then all of us in it will prosper. God, so help us to see how our blessings are tied up with the blessings of our neighbors, our brothers and sisters that we encounter all throughout this community. God, and we thank you for blessing us to be blessings. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Searching for a heart that will love him, and longing for a child that will give. The Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
We're reading today from the 27th number of Psalms, Psalm 27. We're going to start with verse 1. Friends, some people, some theologians call this a psalm of confession. So as you listen through it, think about all of the things that David is telling us about the God, what we can trust about our Lord. Psalm 27, hear these words. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me on a high rock." Verse 8, "Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have come against me." Verse 13, "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Awesome God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, for the privilege to worship you. God, we thank you that we have come now to this preaching moment in your service. God, I pray that your word tells us that your word does not go out and return to you void, but it accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. So do your work this day, Lord. Accomplish your purposes through this word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Do you have something to confess? That's our subject for today. The psalmist did. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" As I mentioned, some theologians call this psalm a confession of trust. A lot of times we associate this idea of confession with something bad. But the psalmist is teaching us here how to confess all the good things we know about the Lord so that we might be encouraged. This psalm is a declaration of who God has been and how God has been, not because God needs to be reminded, but because sometimes we need to be reminded that God won't stop now. The psalmist is convincing himself, as we sometimes must, that the last time God did it is not the last time God will do it. The last time God healed and paid all the bills is not the last time. The last time God got you out of the trouble that you chose for yourself, that's not the last time. The last time that God answered prayers that no one else even knows about is not the last time. So when he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, the Lord is the stronghold of my life, the psalmist is confessing everything he knows about Jehovah Jireh, our provider, who gives to us according to his riches in glory. He's confessing what he knows about Jehovah Rapha, our healer, who bore all our diseases and infirmities on the cross and tells us that by his stripes we are healed. The psalmist is confessing what he knows about Jehovah Nissi, who goes before us in battle, the God who prefers peace but doesn't mind waging war for us. He's telling us everything he knows about Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. Friends, I don't know about you, but I can hear the psalmist saying, when I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, I can hear the psalmist saying, I will look to the hills from where my help comes from, because my help comes from the Lord. I can hear the psalmist saying, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Friends, we need to know that this prayer, this psalm of confession, was not written during the psalmist's winning season, as Ja'Kayla Carr would sing. It's not written on a day when everything was Gucci, as the kids might say, when everything was good. He writes of enemies. He writes of evildoers, or some translations say bullies. He writes about hard times. And the bottom line is folks are attacking, coming against him, telling lies, even verse 12 says, trying to trap him, verse 2. Despite everything that's going on, the psalmist still says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Despite everything that's going on, the psalmist still confesses, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Another way of saying it is simply, I trust God. I heard an old Donnie McClurkin song this week that sounded very much like a confession of trust. He declared, I will trust you no matter how hard. I will trust you every step I take. I will trust you in my troubled times, in my sadness. I will trust you in my hurt. I will trust you, God, every day. I will trust you every day. I will trust you. You never fail. You never fail. You never failed. And I would add to that, and you won't start now. Now, let me be clear. Just because God is trustworthy doesn't mean everyone is. Just because God will rescue you doesn't mean others won't try to entrap you or harm you. Just because God is faithful doesn't mean that the folks in your face are. Just because God is faithful doesn't mean that the situation you're facing is not real. The medical issue is real. The bill stacked up is real. The uncertainty about your purpose and your calling, your future, that's real. Your weariness, your worries, whatever is keeping you up at night, that's real. So our trust, our faith in God doesn't have to ignore what's going on around us or what's going on within us. Instead, we can have confidence in the light of God to overcome the darkest of evils. And that confidence doesn't require that we hold back our fears or our tears or what we're worried about or our disappointments or our deep longings. We don't have to try to hide any of that from God. Instead, trust and lament, being able to name what hurts us, being able to name what's hard for us. Trust and lament go hand in hand. Naming what hurts us assumes that God can do something about it. It also assumes that God will, that God wants to do something about it. Anyone who has ever been around children, you know, if they hurt themselves, even at the littlest age, without ever having told them, you can come to me, you can count on me, you can trust me, they will walk right up to any adult and just show the wound. They might say, uh-oh. If they have more language, they might say, I got a boo-boo. and point to what that skin knee is or that bruised elbow. Kids come to us because they believe we can do something about it. They believe we will do something good for them. They trust that if you say, uh-oh, I'm not going to put a little salt on it, press on it too hard. I'm not going to do anything that would harm that wound. But my one responsibility is to heal that, to take care of you. And in the same way, God looks at us. God expects us to come showing what's hurting, being vulnerable enough to say what's hurting, what's not working in our lives so that God might work on that situation. Now, to be clear, our God who sees all and knows all doesn't need us to catch him up on our lives, doesn't need us to tell him what's going on, but that's a sign of our trust. So God waits for us to turn to him. God waits for us to show him our uh-oh in our minds, in our hearts, on our jobs, in our homes. He waits for us to point out the uh-oh, tell him what's going on, to show him that we trust him with our troubles. Now, it's not clear what hardship, what trouble the psalmist is experiencing, even though this idea of trouble runs all throughout the psalm. Enemies, evildoers, bullies, liars, exhaustion, physically, mentally, spiritually. Is anybody tired today? Against this backdrop, the psalmist begins with a confession of trust. Because the Lord is on his side, because the Lord is his light and his salvation, he does not need to worry. Friends, I wonder what our confession of trust is today. The Lord of peace is bringing peace in my heart, in my home, in this world. The Lord is our hope. The Lord is our constant companion. What is our confession? The Lord is my healer and my redeemer. The Lord is fighting for me even when I'm too tired to fight for myself. What is your confession? What do you need to trust God with today? Is there a situation that seems dark that could use the Lord's light? Could the addiction you're trying to break, the marriage you're trying to mend, the relationship you're trying to restore, could that use the Lord's light? Could the goals you're trying to reach use the Lord's light today? I wonder, do we need to pray like the psalmist in verse 11? Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me down a straight path. Or as the New Living Translation says, teach me how to live. Teach me how to live. We know that the season of Lent is typically a time of soul searching, of reflection, of drawing close to God, of growing in God. It's the opportune time for those raw, honest conversations with God that the psalmist models for us. Conversations grounded in the conviction that God is real and powerful and good. Conversations anchored in the belief that God so loved the world, that God so loved the world then and now, and he won't stop now. Conversations that assure us that we are safe. Safe. That's basically what we're confessing when we call God our stronghold. Stronghold was a common description of God in the Psalms, and the image comes from the military, where there would be well-positioned, they say, fortresses to surround that person that was on the battlefield. Yes. We can find God in the church, and we can also find God surrounding us right there in the midst of our problems, well-positioned, wrapped around us. We used to say a hedge of protection, a keeper even. The psalmist is saying what I hope we can all say, no matter what I go through, God is right there going through too. The psalmist is saying he'll never leave me or forsake me. Verse 10, my own father and mother may forsake me, but God will hold me close. Friends, I stopped by to tell you that our God is holding us close. Even as we begin year 3 of a pandemic, amen. Even as we watch war unfold in the world, even as things war within us, we can recognize, even when we can't recognize the enemy, God is holding us close. When we see the enemies plotting and planning, and even when we didn't, God is holding us close. When we can sense God's nearness and when we feel all alone, God is holding us close. Our well-positioned fortress, our God who is able, our stronghold holds us close. Psalm 27 lets us know that no matter what the problem is, the Lord's protection is sufficient. It tells us to focus on your protector, not your problem. Focus on your protector, not your problem. Let's be honest, though. It's natural in times of trouble to want to run to a place of safety. Science calls that what? Our fight or flight instinct. We want to get out of there to save ourselves. But the good news is Psalm 27 declares that the Lord is our protector and our safe place, the very place that we run to. I don't know what you might be running from today, but God is always there to run to. I don't know what might be troubling you, what you might be running from, but our well-positioned God, well-positioned fortress holds us close. If only, as the psalmist said, we'd ask God to teach us his ways, to lead us in right paths, to teach us how to live. If only we would pray as the psalmist did, one thing I have that I desire of the Lord. All I want to seek after is the privilege of dwelling in the house of the Lord, the psalmist says. And why? So I might behold the beauty of God, so that I might inquire in his temple, that I might ask him some questions about what's going on in this world. Talk to the Lord about what's going on in our own life. Friends, I wonder what would happen if we learned to seek God this Lenten season, to truly behold his beauty. What would happen if we trusted that we were safe in God? How might we then be able to grow in God? If we stop letting the enemy get in our ear and tell us something about us and our God, how would things be different if we started confessing our trust? What would shift? One religious poet that I follow had this to say about learning to walk in the light with our God who is our light and salvation. The poem is called Penance, which we usually think of as the price we pay, how we atone for a sin. And we know that this Lenten season is all about our repentance, being reconciled back to God. And so the poem Penance says this: Child, the best way you can repent today is to stop avoiding God's love. Stop ignoring the beloved calling your name. Stop declining the deep blessings meant for you, the mysterious love that flows beneath gravity itself. Stop denying the kindness the Spirit has for you, even when the world is mean. Stop pretending it's not for you, that you yourself are not a cell, a part of the body of love. Let God hold you, as God will forever. Let the sun and rain fall on you, nourishing you, growing you. Repent of ignoring yourself, belittling yourself, acting as if you're not worth it. Forgive yourself, soften your heart, and forgive. Repent of how hard you are on yourself. Your judgment, your despair, have mercy, have faith. Your sin is denying your belovedness. You are beloved, and your penance is to live like it, as God would have you to do. Friends, we are called to embrace the fact that God embraces us. We are called to walk in the light of the one who is our light. We are called to allow our well-positioned God, our stronghold, to hold us close. Now, I know some of us are too ashamed, too afraid, too hardened by what the world has done to us to want God that close. And still God calls, still God cares, still God holds us close. That's a reason to give God praise. That's a reason to confess, God, we love you. God, we trust you. God, we depend on you. That's a reason to confess, God, we know that you're faithful. We know you're near. We know there is none like you, God. We know that you are God and God alone. God, we know that you are for us, and that's more than the whole world against us. God, we know that nothing could ever separate us from your love. God, we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, and we started there. God, we love you. Friends, it's time to confess that we are ready to walk in the light, the beautiful light, trusting that God is our light and salvation, so we have nothing to fear. Trusting, as verse 13 says, that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God, we are so grateful that you are our stronghold. God, we are so grateful that you are holding us close today and every day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.